Roadman at stage 15 of the Giro d'Italia. Let's cue that intro.
The big question is this: how do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness, and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh, and welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
Roadman, welcome back. Stage 15 of the Giro d'Italia. 15 stages, 15 podcasts. Actually, no, it's 15 stages, 14 podcasts. I missed the day that I was traveling to Girona. Still out here in Girona, enjoying myself. Nice spinnies, that's not even really a word, is it? Nice handy 3-hour spin today. Just amazing riding out here. As soon as you get out of town, you're into the hills, and it's just crazy variety. Couple that with the mad cycling history of the place, the climate, lack of cars. It's just like scale electrics for cyclists, just sticking it together. So every evening I'm trying to just piece together what that route is for the next day. So after the podcast this evening, that's what I will be doing. Anyway, I digress. It was stage 15 of the Giro d'Italia from Grado to Gorizia. 147 kilometers, and this is sandwiched in between two super important days in the high mountains. It's the first time the Giro has left Italy this year. Today, we delved into Slovenia. Before I dive into all that, let me remind you, as always, about Patreon. Pause the podcast. It'll take you 2 seconds to head on over to patreon.com/Anthony_Walsh. Buy me the price of a beer once a month to support the podcast. It helps fund all the back-end costs to the podcast, and it turns this from, you know, a little bit of a passionate side hustle into something with merit and sustainability going forward. So anyone who's contributed already, I thank you very much. And for anyone who hasn't, please take one moment to make just a small little donation. You need to check out the video on Instagram. Search, I can't remember his handle name, but search Alberto Contador on Instagram, and you'll find the video of him watching the finish to yesterday's stage on Zonkalong, where his rider Fortunato won up Mont Zonkalong, and Contador sort of records the last 600 meters of his reactions to the last 600 meters. And he was never a rider who was massively passionate. You know, that's maybe not doing him justice. He was maybe internally passionate, but he never expressed that in an exuberant way externally. And he definitely does in this video. It's just raw passion, and you can see what it means to him to have one of his riders in a team that's struggling to get a foothold. And, you know, their early first few seasons is always super difficult for teams as they wrestle with sponsors. And we're going to hear that from one of the bigger teams and a great success story later on. But just getting it all together, and him and Basso have done such a great job, and to win up Mont Zonkalong, it must just make all that hard work really worthwhile. We had a massive stack up in the first few kilometres today as the break was trying to establish. The break was actually pretty much established, and we had Victor Carpenaerts and some of his Quebeca Assos guys in there, and the race was neutralised as a result of the crash. Now, at the time, I was thinking, this is unprecedented, it's a racing incident, they need to let it go. But to be honest, I was a little bit hot-headed with those sort of sentiments, because they don't stop races without good reason. It was the early kilometres. But so many people were injured in the crash. We had three abandons, including Buckman from Bora Hansgrove, the highest profile one. But apparently there was the volume of people that were injured in the crash. There wasn't enough medical personnel for the race to continue. So they'd ferried all the people to hospitals in ambulances, and they didn't have ambulances, so they were waiting for a fresh batch of ambulances to rejoin the back of the race in case there was a subsequent crash, which thankfully there wasn't. But yeah, it was a massive, massive stack up, and we're not used to seeing them that early in the race. And I think the race director, in hindsight, it was the right call stopping the race, because trying to neutralize it, the riders rolling along, it wasn't happening at all for them. The last 15 kilometers just made for epic television today, because it absolutely pissed cats and dogs out of the heavens in Slovenia. And we had Carpenaerts and Reisenbeck from Carpenaerts from Quebeca Assos and Reisenbeck from Alpecin Fenix, and they separated themselves from the big breakaway of the day, and they had Torres from Movistar, who was with them for a little bit, but he was the fastest out of the three, to be fair. But they knew that, and they gave it some gas on the last climb at about 15k to go and got rid of him. What was interesting for me between Carpenterz and Reisenbeck, because the last 8 kilometers, they only had really 15 seconds on the chase group behind. And it's at what point in the breakaway does your relationship turn from collaborative to competitive? Because obviously in the early stages of the breakaway, if there's, you know, we'll give an example of, there's just the two guys. There's Carpenterz and his escapee, Reisenberg, today. So the two boys are away. They're clearly motivated with 200 kilometers to go to cooperate. They have a mutual enemy, the peloton, and they want to share their efforts to stay away from the peloton. But as they approach the finish line, we'll all agree that with 200 meters to go, their relationship is no longer collaborative. It's turned to a competitive one. It's a straight out competitive one. It's first man across the line. It's full gas. But what's interesting is where on the spectrum that switch happens. With around 8 kilometers to go today, with only a 15 second, which was a small enough gap to the chasers, they made the decision to turn it from collaborative to competitive. And we rarely see it switching to competitive that early and still surviving to the finish. I would have typically said the lads would have been better off served riding into the last 2 kilometers, then assessing the gap and starting to play games. But they started super, super early. A mistake, in my opinion. But look, they stayed away, and in the end, it was Carpenterz had a little bit too much for his escapee companion from Alpes and Phoenix, who I think he just fucked up the sprint. It just looks like he started it too early and had too much sprinting to do. I think he had better legs than Carpenterz. And it was interesting, even his tactic in the last few K, because Carpenterz attacked, and instead of closing the gap straight away, he elected to give him kind of 10 bike lengths and just sit there at 10 bike lengths. This is strategically very clever, because Reisenbeck is 10 bike lengths behind, but Carpenterz fully committed. So the gap is, although they're, as we referenced, that collaborative to competitive, although it's now competitive and they're full gas, he's still getting a bit of an aero advantage from being 10 bike lengths back. But their gap to the chasers is being extended. So it was really nicely played. It's worth watching the last 3K to see how that was done. But it didn't work. Carpenterz came back together, looked for the world like it was going to be Reisenbeck, but it was Carpenterz in the end. And it's actually a win I'm super happy with. I know Quebec Assos have won 3 times in the last 5 days. But it's a team that I really love the ethos of the team. Like Carpenterz afterwards, in the interview, he said the word Ubuntu. I am because we are, the South African word. And it's their team ethos, and they're a team that's fought really, really hard to stay alive, and they have a noble purpose. They're trying to put children in Africa on bikes because they believe that a bike in a child's life can change his life, and they're really struggling to do this. Their team owner, Doug Ryder, who's meant to be a good guy, and I know he struggled to keep the team together this year. He's been massively rewarded this year at Italia with 3 stage wins already. And he's hunting for a sponsor for next year. And, you know, cycling's it's a tough business at the moment. So, you know, we'll see if he keeps it together or not. But it was brilliant to watch today. And Carpenterz is, you know, I've talked all week about how I'm really warm into Bernal. But Carpenterz is my favourite rider in the bunch to watch him being interviewed. He's great value for money. He's the world aero record holder. And he is absolutely brilliant. So let's talk about tomorrow, because tomorrow it's 17 minutes later the peloton rolled in today behind the breakaway, and there was only one reason for that, because their eye is firmly fixed on tomorrow, the Dolomites. When we think of the Giro d'Italia, those epic TV advertisements like the world's most beautiful race in the world's hardest, or the world's hardest race in the world's most beautiful place, everything's shot in the Dolomites. The GC battle, the Queen's stage, it's tomorrow. We're one more day from the second rest day, but the GC guys are going to do battle tomorrow. The stats on tomorrow's stage, they're mouth-watering. It's 212 kilometres. Now, thinking about, like, we're into stage 16 tomorrow. It's 212k stage. There's 5,700 vertical metres. You heard that right. 5,700 vertical metres gain tomorrow. 4 Category 1 climbs, narrow ascents. We've got the Cimo Coppa, the highest point of this year's Giro d'Italia, coming tomorrow. We've a lot of tomorrow's race is going to take place at over 2,000 meters of altitude. And you know what that means. When the body gets over 2,000 meters of altitude, processing oxygen oxygen to the muscles, it gets really difficult. And there's a certain type of human, the new type of human, the better type of human, who is just really, really good at this. Adam Yates is living up in Andorra and he's trying to get better at it, but this is the playground for one man, Egan Bernal. Adam Yates is living up in Andorra, trying to get better at it. Egan Bernal was born at this altitude. I expect Egan Bernal to put the final nail in the coffin of his GC rivals tomorrow above 2,000 metres and bring it home for Team Ineos this year. Time will tell. We have no change in GC today, but we're going to have a massive change in GC tomorrow. I'm absolutely looking forward to it. And honestly, I'm just such an Egan Bernal fanboy as this year all goes on. So definitely wishing him all the best for tomorrow. Thanks for joining me. Congrats to Victor Carpenarts today. Ubuntu is a worthy team. It's a worthy cause, and great to see them bringing home their third victory in 5 days. Roadmen, ride safe, and I'm going to chat to you tomorrow. Hey everybody, it's Anthony again. Really quick, I want to invite you to join arguably the best thing I've ever put out inside the Roadman community. It's a challenge. It's a challenge called the 14-day Kickstart Challenge. So regardless of where your fitness is at right now, this is going to be the catalyst for making you faster and making you leaner. I've created this challenge to take the guesswork out of everything. It's 14 days of training plans, regardless of what your level is. There's masters, beginner, advanced. There's meal plans, shopping list, and even a video course holding your hand and talking you through it all. So what I recommend you do right now is just stop everything, press pause on this audio, and go to roadmancycling.com/14-day, or check out the link in the bio. That's roadmancycling.com/14-day.